I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If I hadn't given consideration to what it would mean to miss games, I wouldn't be doing my job. Obviously, I pay attention to that. I see missing games as a disastrous outcome for this industry, and we're committed to making an agreement in an effort to avoid that.
That's Rob Manfred right there, my friend. Your favorite.
Rob Manclown.
CEO of baseball.
Is it Manclown or Clown Fred? Which is the way we want to go with the owner's pool boy?
I like the text we got at the top of the show, which says, from the 815, of course, this show sucks almost as much as Rob Manfred, but it's not there yet.
Always good to have a goal. We need to get to that point. later this hour, 12:20, we'll talk with Paul Sullivan, the curmudgeon of the Chicago Tribune, in the curmudgeonly wake of the news. He writes that column. He has seen his share of work stoppages in baseball as a baseball writing legend. We'll talk to Sully about that. And then in the back half of the hour, we'll talk with Dave the Cats owner, because he's the latest overnight he did for That You Suck. So we have suckage synergy with Mark Grody. And Saturday Suckage. It is his show. He's not on the show. Espo's on the show, but Grody will be on this show. So Ian Happ was on with Blamestein and Rahimi this week. And Dan and Layla were talking to the Cubs union rep about what's going on. So we thought it'd be really instructive to bring this back and have a discussion about, I mean, I hate work stoppage discussions because everything is this is the number one rule in life, follow the money.
Yep.
I've always believed I used to be a guy who thought the players were greedy. And then once you followed the money and you saw how deceitful and the long con that owners are playing, that they just want to claim poverty and don't want to show you the books. And they want to claim that, give you an example, there would be, say, the rooftops. Is that baseball income? Or is that a real estate investment by the Ricketts family that was a smart investment?
I'm thinking they're going to say B.
Okay.
But there's no rooftop investment there's not baseball games.
Well, there might be, but there would not be the accelerated value.
No right? way.
Okay.
Nope.
So anyways, that's what players are dealing with. And players are locked out. The owners locked out the players. The owner said, you can't play baseball, and then the owners refused to negotiate. The players are mostly down in Florida. The player reps are in Florida, in Jupiter, but this would have been spring training today.
We talked about this.
Well, the full, I mean,
sure.
Players Super day after Super Bowl is when they're supposed to report.
And we talked about this before the show, and just, I mean, you notice, because it's like your sports world works in very structured ways. The Super Bowl happens, and then very quickly thereafter, spring training starts.
Catchers report.
Yes, and that is the rhythm by which most of us live our sports lives, and especially those of us who love baseball. You need that. I mean, that's like we're missing. It's the 26th of February. We're starting games normally by now, or this week, right?
Yeah.
Spring training games. You've already had your, you know, Bruce and everyone else who covers baseball, Sully, down there at camp. You're hearing about, you know, all of your various newcomers. You know, we'd have Marcus Stroman stories. We would have all the White Sox additions. You know, we would get all of the talk going on.
We already know what Chris Bryant is. We'd know what Chris Bryant. Maybe the White Sox.
And no offense to, and actually there was a bit of news. I heard them talking, not that it's news, but that the White Sox would be one of a handful of teams looking at free agent outfielders like Conforto and Chris Bryant. I learned that this morning from inside the clubhouse with Bruce and David. So enjoyable there. But I mean, all of this stuff, like we've missed 2 weeks of camp already.
Mm-hmm. So here's Ian Happ with a kind of an overview. It's either a opening statement or a conclusion. You make out of it what you want, but he's trying to explain to you what Major League Baseball players, as the Cubs player rep, and what they're looking at, what they're thinking, what they're feeling.
We have a group of players who, in the middle or the end, what would hopefully be the end of their offseason, when they would be traveling to Arizona or Florida or wherever, and kind of spending those last few days with their family and loved ones and friends. They're jumping on a plane and traveling to Florida in West Palm to be there in person to try to help move these things along. I think that's the players who want this, the attentiveness from the entire group, all of the reps and other veteran players who are so involved in what's going on, all the hours the guys have put into being on. I can't count the number of hours that I've spent on Zoom calls and phone calls and text chains about what's going on and trying to help push this thing in the right direction. You know, the players are so heavily committed to getting this back on track, and we hope that the fans understand what we're fighting for.
That's Ian Happ. He was on with Bernstein Rahimi this week.
Yeah, flat tax. No sense. And you have...
Well, that's what he says later what he's trying to get fans to understand that they make a lot of money, and Max Scherzer pulls up in a Porsche and he
makes $40 million a year, right? And whatever.
But the people who he's negotiating with, right, are billionaires, not millionaires.
Well, and here's the thing, right? And I think this is part of the problem. The fans feel like they know the players. They're familiar with them. You spend all summer with them.
That's why they go.
Correct. And you feel like you understand them. You also get, if you're, you know, random utility infielder or utility whatever, and you make $1 million a year or $2 million a year, whatever it is, you know, the average Joe can understand, hey, you know, that guy's making some good money. What you don't understand is, you know, what you can't even comprehend necessarily, franchise values, you know, ownership, the dollars, the number of dollars floating around in ownership, and how the franchise value just raises their net worth, and all of the other things, all of the other income streams and everything else that they get through baseball. You're not thinking, hey, this guy made $100 million last year. You can't comprehend that. I can't comprehend that. You can comprehend the guy down the block making $1 million, right? I mean, that's something that you can comprehend. You know Max Scherzer out there showing up in his Porsche making $40 million a year. You also know his salary. You don't know what the owners make.
The worst thing that happened to the owners was Liberty Media owning the Braves.
Yeah. It's like the Packers thing with football, right?
And the Braves had to release as a publicly traded company, the financial report by Liberty Media shows the Braves surpassed the $500 million revenue mark for the first time. So $568 million.
Million.
So according to Jeff Passan, former guest on the Parkins and Spiegel show, I think it was Parkins, maybe it was McNeil and Parkins, whatever it was, they make $6 million in revenue per game. The Braves did. They won the World Series. Mm-hmm. And they got the new stadium, like everybody got the new stadium, and they don't have, anyways, That's what baseball owners don't want you to know. This is a bad thing for people to know.
Sure.
You have to understand the owners have already lied to the players and already lied to you. It's not that they locked them out and then refused to negotiate and then said we're poor. It's that they said, well, unless we get an agreement, this is like 2 weeks ago, right? Mm-hmm. Unless we get an agreement done by February 28th, we're going to have to cancel games. The earliest we could play games is March 5th. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
If nothing is done by February 28th.
Yep.
Well, right now, baseball owners, they've lied to everybody and said, okay, we're canceling games through March 7th. So the earliest we'll play is March 8th. Why? We haven't even reached the first deadline. And now you're moving the goalposts. Understand the owners are in this to deceive you, to make sure that they follow the money. Number one rule in life, follow mm-hmm. the money, never more so than in baseball. And what the owners are doing is just making things up as they go along. They don't care. They will never worry about their credibility with players or the public because it doesn't matter. Only money matters.
Nobody's taking the teams away from them.
Well, there used to be a time when the Baseball Players Association was the strongest union maybe in the world.
Yeah.
Certainly in sports. It was the model for sports. It brought the owners to their knees every time. That's not been the case lately. If the baseball players wanted to make a point, they would have a war chest prepared to sit out the season. Because what happens is the players get paid during the regular season. The owners make their money in the playoffs.
That they do. And I was just going to say that. Missing April and May games when your attendance is lightest mm-hmm. and you're not missing any of that TV money from the playoffs, the owners probably, and I don't want to say they don't care, but they probably care very little about April gate receipts, games.
Bigger picture, they don't.
No.
So you brought up the flat tax. This is what another thing that there's no reason for the players to believe the owners because the owners are they have their own ideas of what they consider baseball revenue and what they consider baseball investments and what they consider they're gaining, what their profits are. Here's Ian Happ on with Bernstein Rahimi about that a flat tax is supposed to be, it's got to remain flat. We're just not making any money, guys.
It would be crazy in an industry that is growing the way that baseball is to think that we would be in a place where the luxury tax would be flat mm-hmm. for the next 2 years. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. And you would hope that that's something that I think everybody would understand.
It makes total sense when you see baseball, what baseball owners are doing in and around the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
What are the Cubs doing? What are they building now?
No question.
What are they building now, attaching it to Wrigley?
Sports books.
Yeah. And they don't want to, and I guarantee you they don't want to consider that. They'll claim that's not baseball income.
Mm-hmm.
That's just another business we have.
Well, and
that's crap.
And listen, and walking around Wrigleyville right now, if you haven't been down there in, a while, let's put it that way.
I have not. Tell me about it.
Well, I can tell you because of COVID, and I'm down there all the time. I used to be and have been down there many, many times. But because of COVID between 2 years ago and then this past season, I had not been down there. I don't live in the city anymore. I'm out in the burbs. But coming down for Cubs baseball, I would always be down there a bunch. It had changed so much just in those 2 years with all of the stuff across the street, the hotel, Zachary, I believe it's called, the Ricketts family hotel that they own, all of the other buildings around there. And listen, it's beautiful. They've spent a ton of money making all of these places attractions, places you want to go and hang and spend money at, whatever. But those are all tied in one way or another to the fact that there is baseball across the street with the Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there's not a hotel there if the Cubs aren't there, right? I mean, who cares about a hotel on Clark and Addison if there's not Wrigley Field across the street?
There might be, but I think in that case, there would be a Hotel Zachary. It would be a ginger-haired kind of hotel, right?
Right. It would be right. I mean, and just that was kind of to me and whatever. I mean, we're getting off track, but part of the charm of Wrigleyville in the 80s when it went from nothing to being a thing when people started showing up in 84 and then beyond with Harry Caray and the Cubs and whatever is you had some of that neighborhood feel still, right? I mean, you still had, you know, Joe Schmo across the street who runs a bar who's literally across the street on Sheffield, and you could still go in there. It's still the same place, and gradually all those places have gotten bought out, right? I mean, that's just what happens. So
right, you're an Applebee's away from having Wrigleyville turned into Schaumburg.
Exactly.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we will talk to someone. If you think we're curmudgeons,
why
don't we talk to Paul Sullivan of the Tribune? So we will do that. He's seen his share of work stoppages, where this might go, what this might. And do the players, I mean, the central question is what strength resolve does he think the players have? Because that's always been the way baseball has changed. Nobody comes to see Tom Ricketts own. Everybody comes to see Chris Bryant play. Oh, no, they don't have Chris Bryant. Okay, everybody comes to see Javi Baez play. No, they don't have Chris. Is Wilson Contreras still a Cub or don't
Frank the Tank, maybe?
Yeah, all right.
Wilson Contreras is still a Cub for now.
All right, well, there you go.
He's got a check mark next to his
name. One of my diva's secret boyfriends.
Okay.
He's the one who's still with the team. All right. He's Mike Esposito. I'm Steve Rosenblum. We suck so you don't have to, though. Baseball negotiations and MLB pool boy Rob Manfred are certainly trying to take that away from us. Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670, The Score, Chicago's sports station.
You're always one breakthrough away from making an agreement. You never, I mean, that's the art of this process. Somebody makes a move, and that's why we'll make additional moves on Saturday, that creates flexibility on the other side, and what seemed like a big gap on this topic or that topic isn't such a big gap anymore. So it's just, it's hard for me to answer that better than that.
That's MLB owner's pool boy, Rob Manfred, talking optimistically. Of course, he shows up and tries to act like a superhero when really he's got nothing to do until owners tell him what to do. What does Paul Sullivan think the owners are going to tell him what to do? He's our next guest. He's joining us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Sully, you old curmudgeon, how are you?
How you doing?
Doing good. So what do you think of this?
Haven't seen you.
It has been a long time. Yeah, we'll never see each other. No, we're not allowed to.
COVID. Just on video screens.
COVID says no. Yeah. So what is this? What do you, given your experience and all these many work stoppages with the owners playing the long con and getting used to finally beating the players, and the players nowadays not knowing what it's like to beat the owners and stand for something and stand until the owners crumble and fill their pants, what do you make of the situation now?
Well, unless there's an agreement in a couple of days, which doesn't seem very likely, the start of the season is going to be postponed. And if you're going to postpone the start of the season, then, you know, once people get it in their heads that games are going to be canceled, you know, this can go on for quite a while. The fact that Manfred is just now getting involved is kind of strange because, you know, it's been going on since December. So you would think that maybe he'd show some urgency at least at the start of January. But and just a few weeks ago, let's remember, he was bragging that he's like the only one that, you know, he used to be a negotiator, labor negotiator with MLB before he became the commissioner. And he said, you know, all the four labor contracts that he was involved in never came to any, you know, any lockout or strike. And, you know, he's bragging about what a great negotiator is. So, you know, let's see what he can do. I mean, if you're that good, then do it. I don't think the owners have any urgency at all to start the season on time. And I think, you know, I can't prove this, but having spring training going on with minor leaguers is just fine with a lot of them.
Yep.
Because they're getting the coverage. Spring training is going to go on without the major leaguers. It's just, you know, guys that you never heard of.
Yeah, it's a bit weird for those of us who are in our baseball routines and who look forward to spring training so much. But I want to ask you this, and this is just my own theory. You know, after 94, they lost the World Series. Baseball had such a hard time coming back, and then we had the 98 home run chase with Sosa and McGuire and all of that. You know, and all the time, there was labor peace after that. Once you had the, you know, hitting bottom of whatever you want to call it, of missing a World Series, they seem to understand both sides that, hey, let's work this out. Are we that far away from this? I guess they don't feel that anymore.
No, I think, and one of the problems, I think, is the owners, you know, the union used to beat them almost all the time. I mean, the 94 player strike was all about trying to avoid a salary cap, and they won that. Although now that with the luxury tax, the competitive balance tax or whatever they call it, it's basically served as a de facto salary cap, and teams are reluctant to go over it. The players want that to go up significantly. The owners just want, you know, minor incremental changes for the next 4 or 5 years. So, I mean, that's a long way away on that one, and that seems to be the major issue, although there's plenty of other side issues there. So, yeah, I think the players want to win. And they haven't had one in a while, and they're gonna wait for it. And if it takes losing games, then so be it. So you know, obviously, we say this all the time: the fans are the ones getting hurt, and you know, the workers, the ballparks. But you know, I don't see any other way around it at this point.
We're talking with Paul Sullivan of the Chicago Tribune. He writes the In the Wake of the News column, and he had written about MLB negotiations moving badly, slowly, and the clock is ticking. And I always perceive the players as, like when Espo said, there's been labor peace. That means the players gave in. So for the last 20 years, they've given in, more than the last 20 years. What used to be is the players dictated things. People came to see the players play, not to see the owners own. And they would win, and the player and the owners were confounded by how come they keep winning? How come we keep doing this? And the players get their money during the regular season. That's why the pressure's all on them. The owners get theirs in the postseason. So if the players were going to exact any kind of revenge and wrest power back, they'd have to cancel a year so that the owners do not get their postseason money, which is that's their windfall. I don't know that happens now. I think in previous leadership with the Players Association, it might have happened because they're going into a season. They don't have a season. And they say, you know what? Well, we're living without games. We'll see how long you think you can live without games and there won't be a season. And you don't have to actually cancel October. You can cancel October in August and know there won't be a time to get a season. So the owners can feel the pressure. Do you think that this Players Association is strong enough to do something like that?
I don't know. That's a good question because obviously Tony Clark is the guy in charge now, and he's a former player, but he's not a lawyer, obviously, and he's not probably as good a negotiator as a lawyer. They do have lawyers working for the Players Association, of course, but I don't know. The players make so much money now that I think, you know, you're really some of these issues like, you know, minimum salaries for, you know, first, second year players are those guys. I know that that's an important issue, but is that really worth losing, you know, their $300 million contract over? Mm-hmm. You know, So I could see some of them like caving in, but I don't know. It would take an awful lot of them to cave in on this. And let's not forget they're locked out. So it's not like the player strike where remember back. Well, I don't know if people do remember, but when the player strike was going on and there was spring training, there's players like Lenny Dykstra, you know, saying, "Oh, I'm playing. I'm going to cross the line. Screw this." And you know, they quickly, the union shut them up, but I don't see guys like Lenny Dykstra doing that right now. I think they're all just going to trust, because the guys that are, the players that are in charge there that I see the most, like Scherzer and Andrew Miller, those are pretty smart guys, and they've made their money. You know, this is not going to benefit them in the future because they've made their money. They're fighting for players that are, you know, first, second year players that they don't think are getting theirs. So people forget about all the new revenue streams too, since the last, you know, few labor agreements, the streaming and, you know,
gambling coming up,
the gambling, they're going to make so much money on the gambling.
Right.
It's just nonstop. So, as much as players do get a lot of money and you don't feel sorry for them, the owners are just going to make money hands over fist. They already are, but you know, you'd have to be a real idiot to own a baseball team and not make a ton of money at this point.
Yep. Well, and you called it, right? I mean, this is a lockout. They locked the players out, and then there was no contact for what, almost the 2 months before Feb 1 rolled around. So, I mean, it's not like they were dying to get a deal done. I think this is, as you said, part of how they negotiate. They're banking on, once the players start missing checks, if we get to that point, which it looks like, that they're going to cave.
And they think fans will turn on players because, you know, they don't really know the owners, but they know the players, and a lot of fans will. They'll be like, you know, screw you guys. You make, you know, $10 million and you're going on. People still think they're going on strike when they're not going on strike. But, you know, back at the old one in 95, which is, I guess, the one I can only refer to from, it was like the start of my baseball writing career. They came back without an agreement, as people seem to forget. The players agreed to play and then continue to, you know, negotiate for the CBA. And the CBA wasn't really done until some point during the season. So they could do that. The owners could say, okay, we won't lock you out, you know, come back and we'll continue to bargain. But then the players would have the upper hand because they could go on strike. And then, you know.
Well, and wasn't all the lockout stuff part of that too, Sully? They didn't want the players to go on strike, so they locked them out?
Exactly, yeah. I mean, their thinking, and as they said at the time, was, well, better to have it now than, you know, during the season. We don't have canceled games. It's the off season. But, of course, that was under the premise that they would be negotiating through the winter, which obviously did not happen. And, you know, Manfred just showing up all of a sudden is, you know, with 3-4 days when the deadline is, what, Monday, I think? Their self-imposed deadline is just ludicrous. That, you know, if you're that interested in getting the season started on time, then, you know, get involved.
Yeah,
they show up at the last minute and say, hey, this is our deadline, you know.
They aren't. They never have been. Okay, last question. Chris Bryant, Nick Castellanos, or Michael Conforto? Who should the White Sox sign?
Chris Bryant? I'd never heard that. Is that a rumor? Chris Bryant going to the White Sox?
Yeah. You know, Jim Bowden was tweeted out, Rockies, Mariners, White Sox heavily involved in the free agent market when the lockout ends. Chris Bryant, Nicholas Castellanos, Michael Conforto, Seiya Suzuki.
I would say Conforto. I don't see Bryant. He's going to want the money. I mean, some guys are going to come back. We'll see. It's going to be a free-for-all. And some guys are just going to say, okay, like, just get me some team. I'll take a year, 2 years. But I don't think anyone that has Scott Boras as an agent is going to do that. He's going to still want his money. You know, the Koreas and the Bryants, those guys they're going to still want their long-term deals. But a guy like, you know, Conforto, maybe he'd go for 1-2 years.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe we'll actually get to talk about this in reality as opposed to just
hopefully
as an intentionally ironic joke at the end of an interview. Thanks, Sully.
All right. See you guys.
See you well.
See you, Sully.
Paul Sullivan, Chicago Tribune, in the wake of the news. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it's time for What Mark Heard.
What did he hear? We'll find out.
We'll find out because we're actually going to bring on Mark. Mark Rohde is going to be here. And last week on Overnights, Score Overnights, the Grobber Show, he did And For That You Suck. So we'll talk about And For That You Suck.
We need to hear about
on
this.
Saturday Suckage,
yep.
What Mark heard. He's Mike Esposito. He's in for Grody, who was in for Espo, who was in for Jordan Bernfield, who was in for Wayne Randazzo, who was in for Matt Spiegel, who was in for Brian Peruk, and now they're coaching baseball with Espo. This is what a thing. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station.
Rack and Yak.
It's time for What Mark Heard on Saturday Suckage with Mark Grody and Steve Rosenblum.
Boy, everyone is stupid except me.
Yes, indeed. Saturday Suckage with What Mark Heard. Even though we heard Mark's not on the show, but we heard he was doing For That You Suck. So we're going to go to the Score Hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. And here's the Mark of the near award-winning segment, What Mark Heard, at all hours of the day. Hey, Mark.
Hi, Steve and Mike. How are you guys doing?
Well, the question that Espo has is this.
Yeah, I want to know how the hours are going. Now, we've talked about this, and this was relative to talking about less, like how the man does it with these hours, yes, and the stamina. And, you know, how do you go from covering a night baseball game to doing a five-hour show when the five-hour show by itself is super difficult? So that's my first question for you, buddy. How are the hours treating you?
When Mitch Rosen, our program director, and I were negotiating on this and figuring out how much I could do, how much I wanted to do, one of the things that I told Mitch was, I am not Les Grobstein, as in on days that I have to cover something, that I'm compelled to cover something, Bears-wise, which I'll do next week at the Combine, I am not going to, cover the Combine all day and talk to players and coaches and GMs and then go to my hotel room and do an overnight. Now,
Grobber, I can't imagine how that doesn't appeal to you.
Life of
Grobber would have, and that's what totally made Grobber incredible, and that's how Grobber perfected overnight sports in Chicago. He perfected it, and I'm not even trying to pretend like I will be able to fill his shoes in that regard. So that's one thing right there. I am not going to be, you know, there might be some times where I'll extend myself a little bit, but, you know, I would like to maintain health. And I, you know, greet again, Mike, and for people who don't know, I'm only doing, in air quotes, 3 days of the overnight. So that's what I agreed to.
Air quotes, you know, I love it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I agreed to do 3 days, not 4 days, not 5 days, 3 days, just so I'm not a walking zombie all the time. And I don't know how Les did it, because I would see Les at events after or before doing an overnight, and he was fine. You know what I mean? Like, if I was to do that, I'd probably be moody, and you know how that feeling is, like that, sure, that foggy feeling, and you're just sort of underneath it all the time when you haven't had enough sleep. So, hey, I mean, doing 3 days a week, it's not like it's a piece of cake either, because after I do the 3 days, I am in that fog for a while until I, you know, attempt to get 18. Basically, I am just now, after having done the Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday overnights. What's today? Today is Saturday.
Saturday.
I am just, you guys got me at a great time. I am peaking right now.
The fact that you had to ask what the day is tells us all we need to know. And listen,
yeah,
anyone who's done morning drive, I mean, that fog is real. And when you're doing it every darn night, and especially the hours, it's like, holy cow.
Sure. I mean, yeah, morning drive is the same thing. So God bless Mully and Haw and doing what they do 5 days a week. And yeah, I mean, your body to some degree adapts and you get used to it. But there's never a time when the clock strikes midnight and I open the mic and I say, yeah, this feels normal.
Well, then maybe you might as well be in that fog for the other 2 days and do it all 5 days a week, as long as you're already there.
Maybe that was the key to Grobber's success, just living in the fog.
Yeah. Right. So did you ever, last week we had Ranji on. Ranji was on the show for Mark Grody.
Yeah.
And they were, and even though Mark was on the show, mm-hmm. and now Mark Grody is our guest on the Rosenblum and Grody show, and Mike Esposito is sitting in for a guy who's now guesting with us.
Well, he had to do a segment, so he had to do a segment.
How confusing is this show going to be like 10 years from now? There's going to be so many different parts to it. Like, it's already this weird, antiquated, you know, ball of confusion. What's going to be in a decade from now?
Well, the good thing about being a member of the Wake and Bake Club is you won't know.
That's right.
Time is a flat circle to the Wake and Bake Club.
People think I've always been here somehow, even though it's been years since I have been. So, you know,
then we're pulling it off then. That's really all we ever wanted.
So what are the new, as you talked about in covering the Bears in your day job, the idea of going to the combine, and they changed some rules. They have some things there. They're going to be, how will this new Bears group evaluate personnel and come back with football playing flesh or ideas on them? Will this be harder? Will this be easier? What will be different about this? What do you expect?
You mean harder or easier from our standpoint?
No, well, from yours, but also from theirs. The Bears' job is to get every bit of information they can. It's always been about the medicals at the combine, but you're still looking at this version of the underwear Olympics that what sure. can they do? And at sometimes you've been hoodwinked into this. I mean, the Bears draft guys, because they could jump out of pools or run with weighted blankets and stuff. It's really idiot stuff.
Jerron Gilbert, right, ladies and gentlemen. He was the pool jumper.
So what are the rules that you think will have the greatest impact? And do you know how the Bears said how they plan to deal with this, or what do you expect from them?
No, they have not shared with us how they are going to deal with it. But I think that they will have a chance to evaluate similar to what they've had in past years. And I think that there are still so many, I mean, there still will have the interviews. There will still be the measurements that will go on. It's all happening. So they will get to see it. Now it is more about how we evaluate them, because we did not get a lot of answers from Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus in the introductory press conference. That was more of a pep rally, and that's the way it was supposed to be, and I understand that. And now we'll probably ask a lot of similar questions, and we'll see if on Tuesday we get similar answers. I mean, I wouldn't expect a whole lot of information just the way these things go, because there's a lot that they could still keep close to their vest. But, you know, there are a number of questions about the, you know, free agents to be on the roster, like Akeem Hicks and Allen Robinson and Roquan Smith, and what they think of those guys. And could there potentially be some indicator news? That is possible as well. And then it's just a matter of, you know, I've been zeroing, at least in the last couple of days, looking at wide receivers that the Bears might be interested in, offensive linemen that the Bears might be interested in. So that's really the process. And I think the most important part from, I think, fans' perspective at this point will be to hear what those two gentlemen, Eberflus and Poles, say on that Tuesday.
Well, and there's one thing too, Mark, that we definitely know, and they haven't like come out and pronounced, hey, we're expanding our front office, but you could tell by some of the hires they've announced that they are indeed expanding their front office, and they're hiring more football people, as we will call them.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good thing. I mean, the Bears have an assistant general manager, which they have not had in past years. It's not clear like what his exact role will be. I'm sure it is to be another voice in the room, a right-hand man for Ryan Poles. So that was refreshing to see that. And yeah, I mean, they have been making hires like almost feels like one a day, whether coaches or scouts or, as you said, Mike, front office guys. And, you know, I don't know what means anything right now. I don't know if it means anything that they've hired more for the front office or anything that they've said right now, just because we have to see what their first big action is, and whether that's in free agency or a move in the draft to expand more than five guys, which they have right now. The Bears' first pick in the draft this year is a second rounder. So, you know, we have yet to know what the actual philosophy is of this regime until they actually do something. They could say all they want about how their goal is to build through the draft, but I think any GM worth his soul is going to say that yeah, we want to build through the draft. Oh, no kidding. And that's what, you know, Ryan Pace said, and that's what Ryan Poles said. Let's see what they do now.
Our guest is Mark Grody on the Rosenblum and Grody show. So he's our guest. Esposito's in for Grody. So Esposito's co-hosting for our guest, who's now our guest, who used to be a co-host here. Ryan Poles is not big on, or he said he indicated, did he actually flatly state it, I don't want to be part of the first wave of free agency because people overpaid. Did he say it that way? What indications have you gotten? Because it may come down to waiting for the second wave of free agency, which comes after the draft, in which case the Bears are looking at with their second-round pick, presuming they don't get a first-round pick, they don't have it now, that it's the best left tackle they can find, the best three technique they can find, the best weak side linebacker they can find, available, or the best safety available. That's the kind of way it looks in the draft. What is Ryan Poles? What feelings do you get? What has he said? What has he stated about the first wave of free agency when the Bears traditionally have gone knocking on someone's door at midnight? Hello, Julius Peppers.
Yeah.
Send him down there.
Yeah, there's been no indication that there will be any knocking at doors or a big splash free agent. And again, I'll say the same thing I said about building through the draft. Yeah. Every GM would love to wait till the second wave of free agency and score guys there. Score your Bilal Nichols of the world, the Adrian Amoses of the world. I mean, we talked about it so much, yep, about Ryan Pace and his ability. His only real trick was drafting in the later rounds, even, you know, last year, or you know, with Darnell Mooney, and you know, getting Khalil Herbert in the sixth round last year, and you know, Kyrus Tonga, if you'd like, and Thomas Graham Jr., who you know had flashed in one game anyway. So yeah, that's a trick that every single GM wants to pull off. But again, if Poles is being earnest when he says he wants to compete this year, he might have to think about making a splash in free agency as opposed to trying to be the smartest guy in the room. And maybe he is the smartest guy in the room. Maybe he is the guy that can get starters, you know, from, you know, the fourth round on and get picks, get multiple fifth or sixth round picks, and you know that they'll turn out to be big time players. Who knows? I mean, we just don't know that about him yet, but I think it would behoove him to not limit himself in any way, shape, or form, even if that means signing a big free agent to your team. Because right now, the way the Bears are built, they are perfectly under mediocre right now. You know what I mean? Like they are I don't put them in the worst teams in the league, but they are mediocre. So to say or to think that they're going to rebuild this team with a bunch of later round draft, the second wave of free agency, and only five draft picks, I think is a little bit naive. And again, that's why I am interested in knowing more about Ryan Poles' plan. I think he laid out a lot of things that would be ideal. It would be ideal for the Bears to compete next year. It would be ideal to wait until the second wave of free agency, and it would be ideal to build your team, the team that is going to rule the North for a decade. It would be ideal to do it through the draft, but that's everybody's ideal. Let's see what Ryan Poles really does.
Before we let you go, Mark, Dave the Cat update, as requested by one of our Twitter followers, and for that, you suck. Give us the highlights this week.
Oh, my God. I'm surprised you guys didn't pull the highlights. You're expecting me to regurgitate all this stuff at this point? I mean, it was five hours.
Caesar's working on the baseball show, so he's got inside the club. Bruce Levine has him calling up.
You should find this. Well, I will tell you one thing. It's in there, okay? Danny Parkins got for that, you suck. So that was the highlight of it. Danny Parkins took it on the chin because he apparently was trying to sell, when they had Paul Konerko on, did the Parkins and Spiegel show.
Yep.
And he was trying to sell Les's recorder to
yes,
Paul Konerko, because Konerko had interest in that, and the person who crapped him, I think it was Don the Cabbie. Now my brain is starting to work. See, you guys got me in peak form. The brain waves are back.
Boom.
So Don the Cabbie thought that Parkins was all Konerko, and he thought it was in poor taste that Parkins would try to sell Les's recorder to Paul Konerko. So you guys should definitely find that. It is hilarious. So that was the highlight. Other than that, I can't do all the work here, guys. I can't go through 5 hours of For That You Suck.
Caesar looks like he's on it already, so I think we will have that for you later in the show. The cab driver crap.
Oh, it's really funny. It's really funny. So you're welcome for programming your show as usual.
Yeah, that's it. He's here. It's what Mark heard.
We appreciate
it. Now
it.
What Mark's going to do is take a nap. Mark, thanks for
that's right. Oh, Dave the cat is napping, by the way. I don't know. I actually just walked into my place. I was over at Starbucks across from my place. And usually when I walk in, Dave comes out. He must have known that I was going on this sucky show, and he had no interest in hearing it. So he's buried in a closet.
He's got
right
that
now.
Radio voice again. Let me run away to my cubby. That's what Dave the cat is thinking. All right, thanks, Mark.
Bye, guys.
See you, bud.
Mark Ruddy used to be on the show. It is his show. He was just on this show. Now he's not on this show anymore. Espo is. And we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll apologize to Eric Hasseltine. He is the voice of the Memphis Grizzlies. We'll apologize for being late. We're going to talk to him. Ja Morant and the Grizzlies are in town to play the Bulls. You'll hear them on the Score. 6:45 is the Source's pregame show. We'll talk Bulls-Grizz next. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.